With us this afternoon is the immediate past chairman of the United Soybean Board, Phil Bradshaw, also a livestock and soybean farmer from Pike County. Good afternoon, Phil.
Good afternoon. It's good to be on with you today.
Phil, you recently returned back from Washington, D.C., and we talked a little bit about this earlier. In a memorandum of understanding was signed between a couple of different groups that are involved. The Soy Transportation Coalition is one of them. Let's talk a little bit about what the MOU, the purpose behind it, and what we can anticipate in the future.
Well, Monday at lunch, we had luncheon in Washington, D.C. with the administrator of the Panama Canal and the ambassador from Panama, and the Soy Transportation Coalition, which was started, 5 years ago by several state soybean associations, USP, United Soybean Board, and American Soybean Association, to look at transportation issues. Well, a year ago, while I was chairman of the United Soybean Board, I and the CEO and some representatives from ASA and the Soybean Export Council met with the administrator and the officials in Panama. And out of that meeting and some other meetings, we decided an MOU, or working and better understanding, between the needs of the soybean farmers and the capabilities and activities and fees of the Panama Canal, their new rebuilt Panama Canal, needed to be looked at. And so out of that came an agreement called an MOU that we will be working together to improve the efficiencies of moving soybeans through the Panama Canal after 2014, when the new upgrade is completed.
Phil, when we talk about the upgrade to the Panama Canal, it really is a substantial upgrade, and it really will allow for more, obviously, soybeans to pass through, but really to make things a lot easier, correct?
Yes. Well, the administrator Alderman, when he gave his talk yesterday, he told us when he was in Panama the same thing, when we visited with him, that their projections showed that in this year, 2011, that the need for the numbers of ships, the tons of cargo, would be jamming up in the present canal if they didn't do something. So they started this tremendous upgrade. And this upgrade, something a lot of people don't realize, is this was a massive undertaking. There's more earth being moved now, or almost as much earth and rock being moved as there was on the original canal. There's about the same amount of concrete being used. They had to raise the lake. I hadn't thought about this until I talked to them, you know. They had to raise the lake that gets fresh water, because the locks going to the Pacific and to the Atlantic both have to use fresh water, and because they can't transfer the water from one to the other. So it's been a tremendous job, and then keeping the ecosystem, you know, the trees, plants, and animals all lined up. So it's been a tremendous job, but it will make a big improvement in the speed and efficiency of moving our soybeans and other commodities to Asia and from Asia.
Phil, as we talk about the upgrades being made on Panama and how much easier it's going to be for us to go back and forth from one to the other, what about once we get into the United States? Are we concerned about the condition of our locks and dam system and the transportation and infrastructure here, since we're seeing such a large and substantial upgrade in Panama?
Well, yes, this is one of the things that I'm very concerned about. Of course, you folks, you know, sitting right there on the Illinois River and with several locks there, you're very well aware of the condition of our locks and dams, and where our total infrastructure to utilize the upgraded Panama Canal needs to be upgraded. That's everything from our elevators to our seaports, the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of Mexico, mouth of the river, to the railroad lines that bring it to the river, to the Gulf, to our local county roads. One of the things we talked about on a number of occasions, and I'm sure you have on the radio before, is the Foreign Agriculture Office of the UN is predicting that by 2050, we will have to produce over twice the food worldwide that we produce today. And of that, a large percentage of it will come from North and South America. Now, I just ask people, do you think you can handle in 25 or 30 years twice the trucks, twice the trains? I don't think so. So we've got to figure out a way to improve our roads, both township, county, state, and national roads, and interstate highways, our railroads, and our waterways to handle and be ready for twice the production, twice the demand between now and the year 2040 or 50.
With us this afternoon is Phil Bradshaw, immediate past president of the United Soybean Board. Phil, so many groups came together. I know ASA was involved this week, the United Soybean Board, as well as the Soy Transportation Coalition, not to mention the folks from Panama. As you move forward with this MOU, what's next, and what are some of the big pathways that you guys are looking forward to in being able to help contribute back to the agriculture industry?
Well, you know, we hope, and you know, what's the next step? You know, it's like a chain. It's no stronger than the weakest link. And the Panamanians have made their, what I call the center link of that chain, very strong when they upgraded the canal, and we're going to have it completed in 2014. Now, what we need to do is we need to make sure that our exporting companies, our local, state, national officials upgrade our systems to meet the capabilities of that Panama Canal, or we're going to be the weak link. Now, when I was down there in Panama a year ago, almost a year ago, last year anyway, and had the meeting with the Panamanians, the administrator of the canal, et cetera, they were telling us that the president of Brazil, the immediate past president, Lula, had been there and spent a day, and they had calculated how much more economical it was going to be for them to send soybeans from Brazil to Asia coming north and through the canal. They had it calculated right down to how much it was going to save per ton by being able to load bigger ships and have them go through the canal quicker because they don't have the wait time. They'll have to wait before they can go through the canal. They had it all calculated down. So if we're going to be competitive, we have to start figuring out how to do this. And one of the things that I've been saying, and I said it in my remarks in Washington, is with our economic conditions of our government, and our both state and national, why, we need to be doing some creative thinking on how we might do this. So I'm asking people, you know, as they sit around visiting, just think about how might we have the money, how might we go about upgrading your township and county roads and your state highways and your locks and dams and the elevators so they can load ships and barges quicker, more efficiently. I think we need to be looking at that because we will produce, if not twice as much commodities in the future, close to it. And that, I think it'll come much quicker than what they're projecting, 2050. I think you'll see it by 2030. I think we'll probably double our production in the next 25 years. But I think we just have to work about it, you know, just have to work on it. That's all we got to do.
Phil, it's always good to chat with you, and hopefully you've had a productive spring thus far.
Yes, we've got all of our corn planted and about half of our beans planted. I think we've been more fortunate here in West Central Illinois. I'm just 30 miles from Hannibal, Missouri, 65 miles west of Springfield, and we've had some good days. We've had over a week now of days we can plant. I know a lot of the folks have just not had that opportunity, so we've been fortunate here. We're in pretty good shape here.
Phil, have a wonderful afternoon, and we will catch up with you soon.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on, telling the story.
Thanks, Phil. That's Phil Bradshaw, immediate past chairman of the United Soybean Board.